She had been a widow even unto 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshipping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks unto God and spake of him to all that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, look again at verse 25. You'll see that there were certain classes of people at that time. It speaks about those that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem and its inhabitants and its occupants. And then in verse 25 it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him." So, here are some that were looking for something in the future. Now, it says, verse 38 again, "And coming up at that very hour, she gave God thanks and spake of him to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem." Now, this is most important. "And when they had accomplished all things that were according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth." Now, these portions do not give us the complete story. What you have to do is to read in Matthew about the coming of the wise men, and you read in Luke about Anna and Simeon, and then you try to harmonize them. Perhaps I'll tell you a little bit about that later. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for the men and women who are in the world, who though, unlike all men and women, children of Adam, some of them have become your children. We are thankful that you've not left yourself without a witness. And there are those to whom we can go. If there is someone that we need to pray for us, we can go to them. And if there is someone with whom to fellowship, we can go to them. We are thankful that from the very first, there were always those that worship you as they should, but they're not able. And at the last, there shall be those worshiping you as they should. Are there not those that are faithful unto death? Your Son has said, "Be thou faithful unto death." And so, our God, we desire to learn from this one in particular who was faithful even to old age. And let us who are younger and who is not younger learn from her. We are thankful, Father, for the examples of the youth. That was said concerning Timothy. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to them that believe, in word, in manner of life, in love, in faith, in purity." We are thankful, Father, that young people can give us an example. And then we are thankful that those that are aged can give us examples as well. Let us never think, our God, that the time comes when we can no longer be a testimony, an example to the world. So, help us this night to understand. Speak to our hearts, we ask of thee. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Two things in particular I wanted to emphasize that were not developed this morning about Anna, and it's this. Different reactions when the same blessing is brought into the life of one as well as another. Some people think that if the same blessing is brought to me as to you, the reaction should be the same. That the reaction should be good. Yes. But the definition of what is good when the blessing of God comes to you is a different matter. And the reaction of Anna was different from the reaction of Simeon when the Lord Jesus Christ in the temple was seen by the eyes of that old man and that old woman. Now, listen to Simeon. This is what happens to him when he sees the Christ child. He says, "Now let thy servant depart in peace, O Lord, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He says, there was nothing more to live for. I've seen the most glorious sight possible to the eyes of man. I've seen your Son, the Savior of the world. Now, Lord, take me home. Now, that's beautiful. But at the same time, here is Anna, and I take it that she's much older than Simeon, who, that is over 100 years of age, can have many people that are equal to them in age. So here is Anna, perhaps 105 years of age or more. And so, would you not think that when she saw the Christ child, she would be the one who said, "Now, Lord, take me home. I'm old. I want to go home. I've lived long enough." But instead, she is filled with life and with vigor, and she wants to go and testify of the Savior that she's seen. Isn't that remarkable? Listen to it. It says that when she saw him, she gave God thanks, and then what did she do? She spake of him to all that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon says, "Lord, I'm ready to go." And Anna says, "Lord, I'm ready to witness. I want to go and tell everybody I know that is interested about this Christ child that I've seen." Now, notice her circle of friends. It says, she went and spake of the Lord Jesus to all them that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Now, this is what happens to people when their hearts are truly stirred by the Lord. What happens when Cleopas and his companion on the road to Emmaus had seen the Master? What happened? They walked 7 miles, and they turned around and went back, and they said, "We've had a conversation with the Lord Jesus. He was made known to us in the breaking of bread." And the others said, "Yes, and we have this to tell you about him as well." It's a glorious thing if you have any experience that is genuine of seeing the Lord Jesus, learning of the Lord Jesus, being blessed by the Lord Jesus. The good thing to do is to go and tell all of those who have the same hope and aspiration that you do. It was not a gospel message that she gave. That's what happened to the woman at the well of Samaria. Her message was this: "Come see a man who told me all that ever I did." And those of Samaria came, and they said, "Now we believe, not because of what you were telling us, but we've seen him for ourselves." But she went and wanted them to see somebody that had been a blessing to her life, that had told her everything that she had done. But here is a woman that knew that this man, and this man, and this man and his wife, and these women as well, are looking for the consolation of Israel, are looking for the redemption of Israel, and they'll want to know the things that I've seen. You would think that anyone who professes to be a child of God would want to hear of such experiences that you've had with the Lord. But this is what you will find. If you go to some, and you start off a conversation about something of the world, something of current events, they will enter into it, and you can stay there a long time. But if you go and start telling them about the Lord Jesus, their capacity is small, and soon their attention will wane, and they will want you to talk about something else. I remember hearing one, and probably he professes to be a believer, God knows, but on an occasion, he knew that I was invited to come to a certain locality, and he said, "Why, if that man comes, we'll be hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ all day long." Well, that's a good testimony for me. But at the same time, he said, "That is what I don't want. But there are some, and this is what was such a blessing. There were two young men, and they telephoned me from Maryland. And they said, Uncle John, we would like to come to North Carolina and spend time studying with you intensively. May we come? And I said, come. And they drove all the way from Maryland to North Carolina and stayed 3 days and studied with me day and night. And their only regret was that they had to go back home. Few and seldom are the times and the people that have that hunger for the Word of God. But there are some. And in this case, the ones that Anna went to speak to, they were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. They were looking for the messianic promises to be fulfilled. And now, she has additional truth to tell them about what they were looking for. Understand what happened to this woman's heart after this encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Before, she had been looking for the coming Messiah. Now, she has seen that the Messiah has come, and she's no longer looking for a promised Messiah, but she is looking for the fulfillment that the Messiah is going to, having come, fulfill the additional promises that are written concerning him in the Word of God. Now, that is how our hearts should be today. How? It's not that I'm looking for the Lord Jesus to come and be born and die on the cross. Thank God. Those things that we look for have been seen, and those prophecies have been fulfilled. But now that we have embraced those truths that have been fulfilled concerning the Messiah, there are other truths, future things that God has promised to do in His Word, and that's what we're looking for. Now, you'll see that this is a special word, prosdekamai. It's the word that is translated in various parts of the Word of God. People that have hopes and aspirations, and they're looking for things. The Savior, in speaking a parable, said, be ye yourselves like unto one that is waiting for their master. The same word. And then concerning Joseph of Arimathea, it said he was looking for the kingdom of God. Now, the same word, having been applied to Anna, she saw that the Messiah had come. And so she was looking for him, and he came. And all of those others who had fellowship with her, they were looking for the coming of the Messiah. But notice, they were not present when the Messiah came. They were not in the temple. I told you this morning, and what a great testimony to this woman, that God did not have to tell her to be in the temple at a certain hour. My son is going to be there. God saw to it that at a certain hour, when the faithful would be in the temple, his son was going to be there. And he knew in advance that Anna would be there. Why? Because it said she departed not from the temple. Day and night she was praying and worshiping God, fellowshipping with God. And God said, there's no need to tell Anna to be there. I'm just going to see to it that my son is there. And her life is patterned after a life of faithfulness and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And because of that, I do not have to worry. And so when the time came, the Lord Jesus is in the temple, and Anna, according to schedule, came into the temple, and she said, here is the promised Messiah. Would to God that all of us were that dependable. Ask some, is this brother, is that sister going to be present? I don't know. It's prayer meeting night, but I do not know. Is Anna going to be present? They would never ask that question. Never. Why? Because she's always there. That is a good testimony. All right. Notice this now. That she who had a hope saw that hope realized. Here is the Messiah. Now, her hope is not ended, but her new hope is that this Messiah shall fulfill the mission that God sent him to from heaven, and after that, place more hope as to what he's going to do in the future. Now, I would doubt that she knew anything about the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow, Perhaps you said the Messiah is here, and now the Messianic kingdom is going to be manifested. But there were many other things that she did not know that were to be fulfilled, but at least she knew that the Messiah had come. And so she wasn't looking for the Messiah anymore in the first instance, but she's looking for him to establish his kingdom. And this woman now knows that Jesus had to come and be wounded for her transgressions, bruised for her iniquities. She knows that now. All right. I've applied this to her, showing that she had one hope, and that hope was realized, but it did not end her hope, that there were more hopes set before. This hope that she had is now ours by faith. Why? Because I was not present when Jesus was brought into the temple, but I have embraced that, and all the promises of the coming Messiah in the Old Testament have been fulfilled. He's come. And that is my portion, as well as Anna's. She, through the Word of God and the others who have written the Word of God, have told me that the Lord Jesus is come. And I've also been told that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and the third day he was raised again. All of those things that were theirs at first, their hopes, and they embraced them, now they are mine. But that does not end my hope in the Lord Jesus, for this reason. I told you that this special word, they were looking for the redemption of Israel. They were looking for the consolation of Israel. They're looking for something. Titus 2:12 and 13 is ours now, in addition to theirs. This is what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. This woman and Simeon, that man, and all of those that had expectations were looking for his coming the first time. Thank God their looking for him has been realized, and they are looking for him no more to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. But they, along with us, are now looking for Jesus Christ to come back again, receive us to himself, and to establish his Messianic kingdom. That is what is so glorious for us. They had hope, we have hope, and that hope will never be exhausted. Understand this, that our hope is in Christ today, and when he comes, our hope will be in him yet for tomorrow, because it says this in 1 Corinthians 13, now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three things abide. And my hope is that the Savior, having come, will come back again to receive me to himself. And when he comes and receives me to himself, my hope is that every other promise in the Word of God shall be fulfilled. It says that in the ages to come, he shall make known to us the riches of his grace, the riches of his kindness, the riches of his love. All of those things are promises, and so my hope is never going to be exhausted. Thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So all of us in this world have hope, and Jesus Christ shall come and shall fulfill those hopes. And so who are they without hope? Understand that the hope of those like Anna and Simeon now is the hope of resurrection. But the hope of resurrection is not mine. My hope is that he shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and I shall be caught up to meet him in the air. That's my hope. But if I live to be 105, and then I'm laid to rest and return to dust from which God made me, then my hope shall be in Christ, the resurrection. But as long as I have life, my hope is that he will come again. This is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the hope of those who are alive is that the Lord Jesus shall come while they are yet alive. And not that they shall be raised from the dead, but they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so all of those who have faith in God that belong to him have hope. And in this instance, it was hope in the Messiah himself. Now, let me tell you something that is so strange about this incident. God's Son comes from heaven. He's born in Bethlehem of Judea, and the only two who knew of that birth were Joseph and Mary. We're not told that anybody else was there when he was born. Then the angels came and told the shepherds. They knew about it. And the three or more wise men, they knew about it. And then a few that the wise men went and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" They knew about it. And Herod tried to put him to death. But notice, after that, suddenly, the Lord Jesus vanishes from the scene. And at least 30 years of age, nobody has any more hope in him. Think of that. Angels celebrate his birth from heaven, and wise men come and worship him and lay their gifts before him. And Simeon and Anna see him, and they praise God, and they prophesy before God. And then the Lord Jesus flees into Egypt, and then he comes back into the promised land for a while, and then he goes down to Nazareth, and he stays there until he's 30 years of age. Now, understand that this is why our hope is to be steadfast, unmovable, because you would think that where is he that is born King of the Jews, that from the time of his announcement, he would be exalted. He would be waited upon, that everyone would expect daily for him to reach maturity, his majority, and then sit upon the throne. But what happens is this. The shepherds, the Messiah is here. Where? I don't know. The wise men, the Messiah is here. Where? I don't know. We saw him in Bethlehem of Judea. The Messiah is here. Where? Anna and Simeon would say, "Well, we saw him in the temple. Where is he now?" God purposely let him go away and remain in obscurity and have 30 years to develop and grow, as it says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And when he had reached that point where he was ready to be introduced publicly to the nation of Israel, then he came forth. But all of this celebration from heaven and from earth about the birth of Christ, suddenly it disappears. And man, having waited from the beginning of the promise, "The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent," now the seed of the woman appears. In the fullness of time, God has sent forth his Son. But having sent him forth, there is more waiting. And then, 3 years, he's upon the scene, manifested to Israel. But what is so remarkable is this, that even then he does not establish his kingdom, and those that had the stability of John the Baptist send disciples, because John has been arrested and put in prison, because John has been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And he's preaching that, and instead of the kingdom at hand and being manifested, he's laid hold on by Herod, and he's put into prison. And so he sends his disciples and says, "Are you he that cometh, or look we for another?" So who would ever have thought such a thing? That the Lord Jesus would be sent to earth after so long a time of waiting, and then having come to earth, they would have to wait until he was 30 years of age. Well, finally, now that he is upon the scene, others looked upon him as he performed his miracles and said, "This is the prophet that should come into the world." Surely the Lord Jesus, when he rode into Jerusalem, and they were crying, "Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Certainly the kingdom was going to be established now, but it was not God's time to establish the kingdom. They had to wait for 30 years until he was publicly manifested, and then they said, "Well, after these 3 years of public manifestation, he will establish his kingdom." but it was not manifested then. And the Lord Jesus has died and has been raised from the dead, and he's gone back to heaven. And we've been waiting some 2,000 years, and he hasn't come back yet. But, beloved, remember this one thing, that 1,000 years with the Lord is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. And remember this. Did God promise in Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent? You say, yes. And how long did earth have to wait? You say, thousands of years. That's right. But did God fulfill his promise? You say, yes. When? In the fullness of time. You see? Not your time. Not my time. But in the fullness of time. That's God's time. God has his time. And he said, this is the time for my son to come forth. His own brothers did not understand him. You'll find that they did not believe in him in John chapter 7. They were trying to tell him, go up to Jerusalem, show yourself, manifest yourself at the feast. Nobody wants to be made known and does things in secret. Go up to the feast. The Lord Jesus said, my time has not yet come. As Savior would not be hurried into any activity that the Father had not told him was his time. And so that is our consolation. This is what I'm thinking. If God had made the promise that his son was coming in the first place, and he had not come until now, it would be hard to keep waiting. But God, having made the promise of the coming of his son, and after thousands of years he did come, and showed he was the Son of God, God confirming, God establishing the truth of his being the Messiah by his words and his miraculous works and by his being raised from the dead, then I should never doubt again. But it is so long in waiting for the promises of God. And the enemy knows that. And it says in 2 Peter that in the latter days, mockers shall come with mockery, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For, since the creation, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the world. And that's where the 1,000 years as a day, and the day of 1,000 years, are brought to our attention by Peter. You see, in Psalm 90 it speaks about 1,000 years as a day, but in 2 Peter it speaks about a day as 1,000 years. And so the way we think of time is different from the way God thinks of time. And this is what David reminds God of in the Psalms. This is what he says. He says, O Lord, remember how short my time is. And that is true. And so think of this now. Think of the descendants of Abraham going down into Egypt. And Abraham had been told, you're going to stay in Egypt for some 400 years. And after that, they will be brought out. So think of those poor descendants of Abraham going down into Egypt at first, Jacob and Reuben and Simeon and Levi, all of his and their wives and children, they go down into Egypt and they're exalted for years and years. But finally it says, there arose a king who knew not Joseph. And then instead of being exalted, they were degraded and they were made slaves. And think of that. At first, exalted, and then those who are now slaves have been told about the exaltation and the promises of God. And if they did not know the time that they were to remain in Egypt, then how small their faith would be. But if they knew that they had to stay there those 400 years, 430 years, if they knew they had to stay there that long, and I am of the fourth generation, the tenth generation, then they would say, no, not going to come in my lifetime. Do you realize that there were some who knew that the Lord Jesus was going to come in their lifetime, and there were others who knew that Jesus was not going to come in their lifetime? I've told you of one, Simeon. It said it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He knew that he would never die until he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And God kept that promise. What the Spirit of God told him would come to pass did come to pass. Now, if those that were looking for the coming of the Lord had heard what Christ said to Simon Peter in John chapter 21, they would have known that the Lord Jesus could not have come as long as Peter was alive. Because the Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you wanted to. When you become old, another shall gird you. You'll stretch forth your arms and shall take you where you do not want to go. It said, this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. And in the second epistle to Peter, so many years after men had been looking for the coming of Christ, because this is what they say in Acts chapter 1, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And the Lord Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had kept in his own power. It's not for you to know. But Peter knew this. In 2 Peter he said, the time of my departure is at hand. It's time for me to leave this world and go to be with the Savior, because the Lord told me I was going to die. So do you see? There are some who know I'm not going to die before the Lord comes. And Peter said, the Lord cannot come before I die. And had we known what God had told Simeon, then, as long as we were alive, we would go and check up on Simeon every day, and if he was still alive, then there was hope that in my lifetime, as well as Simeon's, the Lord Jesus would come. But at the same time, if I knew the promise that was made to Simon Peter, that he was going to die and not be alive when Christ came, I would go to Peter's house every day, because some people, at times, look around for friends that are lovers and followers of Christ. I haven't seen anyone that believes in the Lord Jesus today. Perhaps the rapture has taken place. And so they would rush over to Peter's house, and if Peter was still there, they would say, no, the Lord hasn't come. All is well. But when Peter departed, took his exodus, as it's expressed in the Bible, when he departed this life, then they said, now the Lord could come. And so that was the hope of those in Anna's day, that they would see the Messiah come the first time. And the hope of all of us, now that Peter is dead, our hope is that we shall see the Messiah the second time. It is possible that everyone living here in his own lifetime can be here when Jesus Christ comes. Notice this. Just like some say, do you know that the Antichrist could be alive on earth? Yes, that's true. And do you realize that when Christ first came, he was alive, he was on earth for 30 years before his manifestation came place. Now, the second coming is not going to be that way. It's not that Jesus has come to earth, and as some say, and this is heresy, and this is false prophecy, that Jesus is here, and he is in some young moon, and he is in this man and that man. Those are lies of the devil. It says that the heavens must keep the Lord Jesus Christ there until the time of fulfillment of all things. And it says when Jesus Christ comes back, it's going to be seen as lightning strikes, and it's seen from the east even unto the west. He says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And so you do not have to worry about seeing Peter is alive or dead. What you have to do is this. You have to have in your heart the promise in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, they had turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son in heaven. And that is what I'm doing now. I'm waiting for God's Son from heaven, and I hope he comes tonight. He may not come until that 7 years, but I can be here when the Lord Jesus comes. So, what were they looking for? They were looking for consolation. They were looking for redemption. They were looking for promises that had not as yet been fulfilled. And what are we looking for? Not their promises that were to be fulfilled, but additional promises, since theirs have been fulfilled. We are waiting for God's Son from heaven. Come, Lord Jesus. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that thou hast not left us without hope. We confess our God when we see the condition of the world, when we see the wickedness of man. We would wonder, but we recall that your Son said, when things were going not in a good way, but in a bad way, when he had performed his greatest miracles and men repented not, he said, woe unto you. But then he said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. We are thankful that whatever the conditions are on earth, you are still Lord not only of heaven, but are of Lord earth as well. And so thou, Lord of heaven and earth, send thy Son in the fullness of time for us, as thou didst in the past. Hear us, we pray, and let us be found abiding in him when he comes. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.